and I like that fresh smell. And when I smell that anytime during the summer, I'm taken back to that time. And it's also a scripture about that. The expression mown grass is used in the Bible. It's found in Psalm 72:6. Psalm 72:6, he shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. Again, it shows that all these good things come from above. Maybe it's the smell of fresh air on a cold, crisp day, a walk in the mountains, a walk in the forest. That smell stays with you, the evergreen. And we know that that's a picture of everlasting life. So isn't it fitting that you would have that smell in your mind and in your senses, that you realize that that wonderful picture of an evergreen tree leads to everlasting life, which that will never leave the world of mankind. These pictures in the Bible, again, are for wonderful examples to us. And we all have our favorite smells, as we said. And you know, brethren, our Heavenly Father also has his favorite smells. I'm actually making a reference to the importance of making a sacrifice, giving our all to the Lord. And as we have had expressed so many times, it must be a willing sacrifice. We've heard it expressed from this platform during this convention. There's no coercion. It's not a forced thing. It's a willing sacrifice, an offering made to God. And we want to do that. The sacrifice of our all to the Lord, acceptable unto him, it must reflect or involve acknowledgement of God and thanksgiving to him. Perhaps one of the favorite smells of our Lord, and which should also be one of ours, is that of sharing with our brethren in the laying down of our lives. When we see growth and development in our brethren, that's a sweet savor of sacrifice to the Lord. And we rejoice in that. We want to share in that. Again, that offering, wholly acceptable. It's our reasonable service. It's shown, really, in the convention theme text that we have here, from 1 Samuel 12:24. But if you reverse it and read it like this, if you start the second part, for consider what great things the Lord hath done for us, his part, and then you have our part. Our sacrifice, then, this sweet-smelling savor, is to reverence the Lord and serve him faithfully with your whole heart. That was brought out so beautifully last night. So part of that is thanking God and then going on and doing the things that you have to do to be acceptable to him. Acknowledgement of God, thanksgiving to him, our sacrifice, a sweet-smelling savor. And again, serve him with all of your heart. Nothing short of that type of a sacrifice is pleasing to the Lord. It could not be. And indeed, all are one then in Christ Jesus. We know that. We have been bound to ourselves under this one Lord and the Father of us all, with a covenant of faithfulness unto sacrifice, even unto death. And so if this is rendered with the proper attitude of heart, it's going to be pleasing to the Heavenly Father. So laying down our lives in sacrifice, and then a couple more examples I just wanted to quote as time permits, to look at this proper attitude of heart, that disposition of character that we must have. And when done along those lines of humbleness and reverence to God, that will indeed go up to him as a sweet-smelling savor, well-pleasing and acceptable to him. If we look at Genesis 8:21, and in Genesis 8:21, recall that Noah built an altar and offered burnt offerings to the Lord, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And it's Strong 7306, which in this case comes from the same root word, ruach, or breathe, or breath, breathing in, or to smell. Remember that term, savor. It's not just to smell and then you forget about it. It's to breathe it in. And as you breathe that in, we said it becomes part of your being. It becomes part of you. And that, again, leads to acts of service, devotion, and faithfulness to God. It's part of us. It's part of that new creature dwelling within us. And what did it cause in Noah in this case? It says, and it caused him to make a promise from his heart. Now, if you make a promise from your heart, the center of your affections, that, again, it involves every aspect of your life. And as you know, if you grow and develop in a way pleasing to him, you're going to be a living epistle known and read of men. You're an example to the world. The world then has to have that same type of a character change, that hard heart to a heart of flesh with compassion and understanding of God and being taught of God. We also have Abel's offering to God, rendered as a sweet smell, a sweet savor, in Genesis 4:4. And this reference to Genesis 4:4 of Abel's offering, it was acceptable to God because he first sought the mind of the Heavenly Father, the mind of the Lord. And in this way, his sacrifice represented a character acceptable to God. And it says in Hebrews 11:4, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. More valuable. Why? Because it pointed to that sacrifice of our dear Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. You know, who we have all our hopes based upon. And in Exodus 29:41, the sacrifice is made by the priest for a sweet savor. Further, in Philippians 4:18, it talks about an odor of a sweet smell. And you know, this terminology is used throughout the scriptures, representative of, as that verse goes on, a sacrifice, once again, well-pleasing, holy, and acceptable to God. Isn't that what we want to be, what we want to do each day, that we're privileged to go on in this narrow way? So as we see from the scriptures, there's a proper way to offer sacrifices to the Lord. One of them is through prayer. We'll get to that shortly. There are also times when sacrifices are not acceptable to him. Psalm 115:6. It uses the same root word, ruach, the invisible power, breathe in, or to smell, referring to the sense of smell, a savor. And it says, they have ears and they hear not, noses and they smell not. So what do you need to take this in and use it? You need the Holy Spirit of understanding. You need your enlightened minds. You need that new mind growing within you. You need that embryonic new creature growing until one day you hear that, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It's brought out further, if you'd like to look it up, in Volume 6, page 174. The Pastor's Writings, Volume 6, page 174. Important words for us to think about and remember. Also, in Amos 5:21, I will not smell your sacred assemblies. We realize that this was spoken to the nation of Israel. It was due to their disobedience to God. Amos was writing during that time when the nation of Israel had become very prosperous. What often comes with prosperity? I no longer need God. I'm doing okay by myself. You know, be careful when you say you stand because you're ready for the fall. We know that scripture. They became wealthy, content. They had some of the most brilliant people. They sent into that life of ease and luxury, self-gratification. Contentment and pride, as we said, had entered in to their lives. They had lost respect for God, for his true purpose in being their father, and for his truth and mercy. So God declared that he was greatly displeased with them and that their lives were no longer being lived close to him. We see the same type of displeasure God's dealing with nominal Christendom. Those who say, Lord, Lord, look what I did for you. Look what I am doing. Look what I have done. He says, I knew you not. You did not do these things in my name. You know, as we had expressed, once again, these things were examples for us that we're on guard against the wiles of the adversary, his darts, his arrows. We know that's why the armor of God is so important to have on. And we have to keep it on and keep it polished and ready for this battle against the world and the flesh's resistance to sacrifice and against self. And that's what we have to battle against. So again, we want to fight in our own lives against these things that crept into their existence, their relationship with God. Pride in self, and not only pride in self, but spiritual pride. I think Brother Carlton mentioned that today. Thinking we're better than others in the world. We realize they go through the same types of experiences that we do, but of course, for us, it's for a different end result. It's to be molded and shaped and chiseled and polished to be prepared for that glorious kingdom in heaven where that crown is there in reserve for you. And I think part of that today, we're in a world of complaining. You hear complaints all the time, impatience and so forth. And that's another way I think that God does not want to smell or take in those things. That's displeasing to him. And that is a flaw of character that we must pray and help rid ourselves of. So, brethren, the type of sacrifice we're looking at is well-pleasing to God is what we really want to focus on. And it's a very special sacrifice, a very special relationship. The loving sacrifice of our Lord and the saints. It also has to do with that development of character. You know, those wonderful fruits and grace of the Holy Spirit. It's doing the things that are good in God's sight. Familiar words to us from Ephesians 2, 9 and 10. Ephesians 2, 9 and 10. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. We have been told in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, just what these fruits are. And we know it's love, peace, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, kindness. All these wonderful things that we have. And the meekness and temperance especially. You know, we develop these fruits of the Spirit and it requires much. That's much is required. Of to much is given, of to whom much is given, much is required. The narrow way. Our way is not always mountaintop experiences. Sometimes it's the valley. Sometimes it's you and the Lord. You know, in the night watches, when you are opening up your heart to Him and you're pouring it out. And the Lord knows our frame, but you have that verse, try me and know me. He does, but He wants you to come to Him in that way. So, again, remember that this selection of the church along the lines is along the lines of severe trials and testings and experiences for those who are called according to His purpose. Suffering with Him, and if you do this, if you are in the image of the Son, and you're striving to be, have, filled with pure intents of your heart. We can't be pure because we're tabernacled in this imperfect being. But you try to keep your intentions as pure as possible. Your words as pleasing and edifying as possible. And only if you do this, you can share in His glory. The glory of those called ones to this high honor that you're justified. And you're justified through faith in the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Because you've done, as it says, and continuing back to my thoughts in Galatians, the fifth chapter, verses 24 and 25. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and desires that it has. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. It's the outworking of that new life in Christ Jesus. And it's one that's reflective of an offering of your all in service to the Lord. Remember again, these are not just words. Everything that you have, you are, and will be, belongs to the Lord. It rightfully belongs to Him. How many times have we heard a discourse about that? your time, your talent, your energy, your resources, your mind. You have to give of it freely to the Heavenly Father. We want to do that. Live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. It's the outworking of that new life in Christ Jesus. Again, it's your living sacrifice being offered as a sweet-smelling savor to God. We had it brought out last evening. This is really being the doer of the word that you hear. Put it into practice. Again, as I point out, that's the hard part. And that's why it's only the 144,000, the called, the chosen, the faithful, that will wear that wonderful, glorious crown. And immortality, the divine nature, crowned with gold. I wanted to go on with a few scriptures, a few words from the Psalms that might be appropriate to mention here. Psalm, the 45th chapter. I just love the Psalms. I like music, so I love the Psalms. I think it's just so beautiful, melodic, and poetic outpouring of a heart devoted to God. The psalmist David. Psalm 45, 7 and 8. Thou lovest righteousness. Thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above all thy fellows. And you know what? It says, all thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. That holy spirit of joy of the Lord and the prospects which sustain him in his suffering and laying down his life. He knew the Heavenly Father was with him throughout all experiences. So he had that smell of myrrh, which is wisdom. And we know the wisdom from above is pure, peaceable, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits. That should inspire us and strengthen us to go on and complete that sacrifice which we began when we first gave our heart to the Lord. In James 3:17. It should also be the attitude of our heart and causes us a desire to walk in the footsteps of our Lord and do that again daily. And then as we develop the fruits and grace of the Holy Spirit, to also offer thanks and praise to Him. We want to offer the sacrifice of praise. That's part of our reasonable service. And again, continually to God. That's the fruit of our lips, giving praise to His name. It's brought out in Hebrews 13, verses 15 to 16. We're supposed to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Again, you are admonished to share with others what you have, to spread those good tidings of great joy that shall be to all people, that there are better times ahead. At this time, with each day, it seems like there's new horrors that have come in the world and new problems. And look how much we've endured just in the past several years. But there are the glad tidings, the message of hope, consolation, comfort. If they don't get comfort now, they will, because they will remember when that pure language comes and they'll remember the things that they've heard because they'll see it. They'll see God's hand in the affairs of mankind. It's a great privilege, brethren, to be part of this heavenly calling, to give up your earthly inheritance. You counted the cost and you went on, and this is what I want to do. And I want to please you daily, Father. But there's more to it again, as there always is. To share in the spiritual things, spiritual blessings, joys, and testings along the lines of faithfulness. It again involves building each other up in this most holy faith. Yoke fellows, that if you're yoke fellow, you're striving to help one another. A living sacrifice. We had that mentioned already, Romans 12:1. Enduring to the end, and only then would you receive that great salvation. You know, brother, it takes a lifetime of dedication and service to God to achieve these things. So it says, ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might obtain the prize. Hebrews 10:36. For blessed is that man when he endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall be found worthy, receiving the crown of life for the Lord has promised to him that love him. Again, once the, as we said, the truly more than overcomers. James 1:12 reiterates this when it says, you're able to do these things because you have the Holy Spirit. And we realize, though, that the beginning of the Holy Spirit is a different matter in each of individual Christian's life. But it is that transforming power by which we pass from the human mind or nature to that new nature, the new mind or will. And it's that power and influence of God. It's brought out in a reprint article, reprint 4048. And in Strong's, that term mitzvah, applying oil to the priest, the picture of the consecration of the priesthood, the holy anointing oil to inaugurate kings of Israel and also into them into office. David anointed by Samuel is instructed by the Lord in 1 Samuel 16, really verses 1 to 12. It was an announcement of our Lord's, God's choice. Important to note, once again, that God does the choosing. He chose each one of you. And you were called according to his purpose. Especially anointed and consecrated to do future work. We're told in 1 John 3:2 that that anointing which you have received, it abideth in you. And we have those other scriptures, let that mind be in you, but it's also in Christ Jesus from Philippians 2:5. It'll guide you, it'll teach you to all things. Once again, 2 Corinthians 8:12, we must be of a willing mind. A willing mind. And Paul, it was his desire that the Gentiles would be bound together in the hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15:13. Now, these aspects of what we're talking about are beautifully pictured in the tabernacle type as performed by the priest. The priest passes from the court into the holy. And that court at the present time represents the earthly condition. Those who go on then to make a full consecration enter into the holy. And when that step is taken, Jesus acting as our high priest, he imputes that merit to cover our earthly deficiencies. He presents us to the Father. Recall from earlier discussions that first offering on the Day of Atonement was the bullock, which typified the man Christ Jesus. And it was because of this offering and by the act of consecration that our Lord became that anointed one. And what was that? The high priest of our profession. And then, as that spirit-begotten high priest, our Lord for 3.5 years offered himself, his humanity, in sacrifice, and he finished that offering typified by the bullock at his death. We go on then, doing what? Filling up that which is behind the afflictions of Christ, Colossians 1.24. Our consecration of the earthly nature then that we gave up is made acceptable in the divine reckoning. We're at that point dead according to the flesh. You know that. The former things are passed away. All things become new. New hopes, new ambitions, new desires to please Him that come from the illumination of the Holy Spirit, our new minds developing in us that come from, as James says, that giver of every good and perfect gift. Here we are today. Time when the world gives gifts, showing their love. The ultimate gift, we all know it. It was the gift of the Son who was a willing sacrifice. Here I am, send me. The Lion out of the tribe of Judah who came down. He was able to take the book of life and loose those seals and take captive those out of the prison house of death and free them. He said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. John 9:3, I am the way, the truth, the life. Now you are light. Walk as children of light. Again, a doer. That's a pleasing sacrifice, a sweet-smelling savor to God. Back in Ephesians 5:8. We want to go on in a way pleasing to the Father. And it gives then way to the new commandment. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, and you love your neighbor as yourself. But you know, it's been termed an unfeigned love for the brethren. And that has to be an active love. A love that wants nothing in return. We had the beautiful things read by the children last night about love. And they were certainly true because they came directly from the Word of God. Love one another with a pure heart. 1 Peter 1:22. We're looking at that agape love, always keeping in our minds He laid down His life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Once again, 1 John 3:16. This is an important part of our sacrifice, that sweet-smelling savor. And then to do these things with joy and singing. David tells us in Psalm 27, verses 6 and 7, Psalm 27, 6 and 7, I will offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing praises to the Lord. And you do that by your actions, your conduct, your disposition. Joy, singing. 2 Corinthians 9, 7 and 9. You know this, the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. If you give because you think it's you're compelled or it's your duty, that's not good. We do not give grudgingly or necessity, but according to the purpose in your heart. And if you give that, you're gonna find that there's some persecutions and some difficulties in the world. James 1:2, count on all joy when you have trials and persecutions. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Reminded by our Lord in John 16:33. And again, I heard a word spoken this morning in the service, and I kind of grasped onto that word. It is all about attitude. You hear that today, don't you? It's all about attitude. You can have the head knowledge, and again, if you're not applying it and your attitude is not right, and you look at it as something you're forced to do, it's not pleasing to the Heavenly Father. We vowed that vow to have the mind of Christ in us, who only sought to do good and please His Heavenly Father. And that's what we want to do also. We want to go on and continue to make sacrifices for a sweet-smelling savor to God, realizing that we have this opportunity to do that because of the sweet offerings that typify Christ in His own perfections, His affectionate devotion to the Father's will. Without the shedding of blood, though, we know there's no remission of sin. Hebrews 9:22-24. But also, if we go on and remember these things as Christ being the center, we have an opportunity, not in the ransom, but the church's share in that sin offering, be better sacrifices, plural, of Jesus in the church, the justified humanity of the high priest and the under priest, the offerings of the bullock, Jesus, and the goat, the members of the body. And as we realize, Moses, he took the various parts, and when he did these burnt offerings, they went up to God in a sweet-smelling savor. God breathed it in, and he was pleased that they were following what He had asked them to do. There's one aspect of the sacrifice, just about gave it away, that will focus the concerns really associated with, and it is the word fire. Fire. And that incense altar, the golden oil and the holy represented really the church in the sacrificing condition. And it is called by the pastor the privilege of being in the sacrificing condition through worship and prayer. And in Exodus 31:11, the priest took two handfuls of this sweet incense, which represents the perfection of the man Christ Jesus and His full capacity and ability of righteousness required and yielded. And he cast that into the fire. And when it came in contact with the fire, it yielded perfect obedience. His perfect obedience to the divine will. Completely used and consumed in his service. Nothing short of that is going to be a sweet-smelling savor in our own lives to God. Hebrews 5:8. Yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. A sweet perfume, that smell of a sacrifice. Again, it becomes more stronger, more intense when it's put to the test. And recall also in the Tabernacle Shadows, it's page 56 and also 120. It recalled that the incense was beaten or crushed into a fine powder. The perfection of our characters through experiences. This word, incense, we see it comes from the Latin word to burn. A mixture of gums and spices. You know, it's no accident that God directly ordered the mixture. It had to be done to exact specifications. If it wasn't, the person was punishable by death. So if we have entered into this covenant relationship and we are going on and we're crushed and you know into the fire and go through the things, it leads to glory and honor and immortality. If we don't do it exactly to those specifications, it's going to lead to our death. Again, think of the things in there. There's stackel and ancha and frankincense. Those same things that were in our Lord's, remember when they brought the gifts to him? Gold, frankincense, myrrh. See the connection? It goes on through his life because he was daily his Father's delight, pleasing to him in all things. There's another reference again. It involves how we must use the privilege of worship and prayer. It's spoken of as those golden vials of odors or incense. The prayers of the saints. Revelation 8:3-4. Incense, something distinct again. The prayers of the saints. They come up to the prayers and they ascend before God. Cast your cares upon him. He cares for you. He's caring for you in all of your life's experiences. I like this prayer David prayed in the third psalm, God's security and protection. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head, for the Lord sustaineth me. You know, we also have prayers rendered often by Paul in thanksgiving for his brethren, acts of kindness, devotion and love that they rendered on his behalf, and others of the brethren that he held dear to his heart. And if we continue to do these things and have an active prayer life, which we must do if we are to be acceptable sacrifice, a sweet-smelling savor to God, is to again remember you ought always to pray. Pray without ceasing. Watch unto prayer. It's a desire of our heart to come in fellowship with him. And if we do these things, if that mind is in us, if we're focusing on the things of God, and we're faithful in small experiences we take to the Lord in prayer, we have a difficult experience, we have that line of understanding, communion with God, at one with God and our brethren. How many in here have never been in need of prayer? I don't see any hands. So sometimes you're in need of prayer, and sometimes you have that wonderful privilege, and that's first in your life, of offering a prayer on the welfare and behalf of others. And at the same time, we're fulfilling this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. If you're doing that, all these other things will be added to you. You have the cloud of protection, just like the cloud that hung over the tabernacle, a sign of God, the watch over his people that he had for natural Israel. It's there for you. You can't always see it. But I love the expressions I've heard that you don't know how many times in your life that God has overruled. Just think if you go on to glory and honor and immortality, he'll say, this time I watched over you. I helped you. I arranged that experience because I love you. He put his loving arms around you and sheltered you also under his wing. So, brethren, it should be our heart's desire to walk in love, walk in devotion, give ourselves unto God as an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Strong's 21:75 says, good scentedness, fragrance, a sweet savor to God. But you know, at the same time, it's a bad savor to the world. But that doesn't deter us. We're not striving to get glory and honor in the sight of man, but to develop a pleasing character to God. So, brethren, my prayer for you is that you go on in your life, the remainder of your walk. Some have just entered in this narrow way. Some have been in this way many years. But let us lead each life in a way pleasing to the Father. Let us lead a life of devotion and sacrifice to the Heavenly Father. It says, those who offer incense acceptable to God by Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 2:5, come very close to the Father, up to the veil between the holy and the most holy. And then you can, our closing verse, do these things in Mark 12:33. And to love God with all the heart and with all the understanding and all of your soul or being, and all strength, and to love your brother and your neighbor as himself. It is more than all of the typical burnt offering sacrifices that were performed by the nation of Israel. If you do these things, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And you will hear that, well done, good and faithful servant. I have smelled your sweet smell of sacrifice. May the Lord bless you along those lines, dear brethren.